Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Francavilla Show. I'm your host, Dr. Carolyn Francavilla, board-certified family physician and diplomate of the American Board of Obesity Medicine. I've been helping patients lose weight to treat and prevent medical problems for the last 10 years, and I'm taking what I've learned from them to you. In this podcast, you will learn the science behind why you struggle with your weight and what to do about it, tips for common challenges, work to fight bias about what a healthy weight really is, and improve your relationship with food and your body. Please remember that while I'm a doctor, I'm not your doctor. This podcast is meant to be informational in nature only, not medical advice. Please seek out care from your physician for your specific needs. Okay, let's get started. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of the podcast. If you are newer to the podcast, number one, thank you for listening. And number two, I highly recommend you go back and start from the beginning. I covered a lot of my core themes and most common topics right at the beginning. So go back, start from the beginning, and catch up. All right, but today we are talking about carbohydrates. A few weeks ago, I did an episode on protein, and I wasn't actually inspired to do a macronutrient series, but I think that's going to be how it turns out. But what really inspired me today to talk about carbohydrates is my son and I were listening to a podcast about sun bears this morning. And if you have not heard about sun bears recently, then you have not been on the internet, because right now this sun bear at a Chinese zoo had gone viral because he stood up nice and tall and he looked like a human, and people were absolutely convinced that this sun bear was just a human in a bear suit. So this has been the buzz of the internet. So then my son and I were listening to a podcast about sun bears, and the first thing I learned about sun bears is that they are the smallest of all the bears, and that's probably why they looked about human size. And then the second thing I learned about sun bears are that they love honey. And I stopped listening at that point because I started thinking about talking about honey and about carbohydrates. And of course, sun bears love honey. All of us love sugar. We are programmed and designed to like sugar. And the reason why we like sugar is because in nature, pure sugar is rare. Things like honey, which are not that easy to get, even for a bear. And so our brains are programmed to light up with dopamine and really like sugar when we find it, because it is a good, easy source of calories. We can eat a lot of it. We can stock up if we're a bear. We can stock up and hibernate. If we're a person, we can stock up in case there's a famine. But in the modern world, most of us do not have to deal with famine. If you're listening to this podcast, that's probably not a struggle that you have. And so it is way easy to overeat simple carbohydrates, sugars like honey, because our brain lights up when we eat them and encourages us to eat more. So today we're going to talk all about carbohydrates. What are simple carbohydrates? What are complex carbohydrates? What is sugar? And give you a little bit of guidance on how you can navigate carbohydrates. So thank you, Sun Bear, for inspiring me to finally talk about carbohydrates. In the protein episode, we talked about there being three macronutrients: protein, carbohydrates, and fat. Protein, as you may recall, are made up of these tiny building blocks called amino acids, and those can be arranged in different ways. In the case of carbohydrates or carbs, those are sugar molecules arranged in different ways to make up carbohydrates. And the way that those carbohydrates are made up, the way the sugar molecules are arranged, actually has a really big impact on how that carbohydrate affects our bodies. Not all carbohydrates are created equal. If you've ever done a ketogenic or really low carbohydrate diet where you tried to cut out carbohydrates altogether, you may have just thought of all carbohydrates as the same. And on a ketogenic diet, that makes sense because the goal is to eat so little carbohydrates that it doesn't really matter where they're coming from, because you're eating almost none of them. You're eating a really minimal amount. And the benefit of a ketogenic diet is that it puts you into fat burn. that is going to make you burn ketones, and ketones suppress your appetite. So when you're on a ketogenic diet, your body is using fat as its fuel source. It's not really using carbohydrates. So you don't eat very much of them at all. And this can be a strategy to manage type 2 diabetes, and it can be a strategy for weight loss. The struggle for most people is living your whole life without eating carbohydrates can be really challenging, but it can be a strategy. But for the majority of us who are going to at least eat some carbohydrates, paying attention to the type of carbohydrate matters a little bit more. So let's talk about what the different types of carbohydrates are. So oftentimes we will divide carbohydrates when we're talking about them for food into sugar, starch, and fiber. So sugar is a simple carbohydrate. It's the simplest carbohydrate because it is made up of just one or two molecules of sugars, either monosaccharides, so one sugar, or disaccharides, two sugars. And there's different combinations of these one or two sugar molecules, and those create different tastes and different effects in the body. But these are all just generally simple sugars. So these are things like table sugar, glucose, fructose, lactose, honey, any sort of syrup. There is like 50 something different names for sugar on a nutrition label, but anything that's immediately sweet on the tongue and tastes really sweet is some sort of sugar, unless it's an artificial sweetener. So then we have starches, and these are made up of longer strands of sugar molecules. So those sugars are one or two. Starches are going to be much longer sugar molecules. And as a result of being a longer molecule, they don't taste as sweet on our tongue. These are foods like potatoes, rice, corn, wheat, and the things we make from those foods. So mashed potatoes, rice cakes, tortillas, pasta, bread, crackers, pastry, all of those things that are made from starches. And then we have fiber. Fiber is something that we as humans cannot break down and digest, so it builds up in our intestines. Now, there are bacteria there that can break up some of that fiber. And having that fiber for the bacteria, otherwise called our microbiome, is very helpful to helping that microbiome, those bacteria in our guts, grow and develop and be healthy. In fact, a lot of times you'll see products advertised as having prebiotics, which are essentially just different types of fiber that your microbiome, the bacteria in your gut, can grow on. And that bacteria in your gut has lots of health implications that we are really just scratching the surface on in medicine, but definitely can affect weight and can affect overall health, not just your gut health and how you feel, but probably lots of other impacts on health as well. Unfortunately, the data is not clear enough yet about what to do with our gut microbiome other than to try to keep it healthy. And one of the things we can do is get enough fiber in our diet, because the fiber, again, is a prebiotic. It is what the bacteria like to live on. In fact, with my kids, we talk about this, and if they don't want to eat their veggies, I'll remind them like, hey, you got to eat your veggies. Your bacteria are hungry, which they find very silly. So if that helps you eat more fiber, remember, you got to feed your microbiome. You got to feed your bacteria too. And there are probably like 100 trillion different bacteria that are living in your gut right now, of which there's hundreds, maybe like 500 different species of bacteria in your gut. So lots of things going on in there. It's like its own little ecosystem in your gut, and you have to feed that bacteria fiber. So even though you don't digest it and get calories from it, your body does need it. And so fiber, in addition to growing that gut microbiome, has been shown to improve heart health. So reduce your chance of heart attacks and other cardiovascular disease. Fiber also helps keep you regular, meaning you are less likely to get constipated and have nice soft bowel movements as long as you add some water in with your fiber. And fiber also can make you feel physically full when you eat. And so that is a lot of times why we emphasize foods that have fiber in them. We know they have heart benefit, they help with digestion and prevent constipation, and they also make you feel more physically full when you get that fiber in, because it helps stretch out your stomach and bulk it up. And we'll talk a little bit more about how fiber has an effect on glycemic index here in a moment. So looking back to one of our previous episodes, the July 17th episode from this year, we talked about processed and ultra processed food. And ultra processed food being this food that is barely recognizable as food and is often very simple carbohydrates. It's either starches like potato, wheat, rice that have been heavily ground up and had chemicals and dyes and flavoring added to it, or just pure sugar in the case of like soda, gummy worms, things like that. But these foods that are really, really processed and often are very high in simple carbohydrates as a result. And what you may remember from this episode is that when we eat those really ultra processed foods, we appear to eat more of them, probably because they're not as filling and they're super palatable, meaning they're really tasty and they light up our brain with that dopamine, that pleasure hormone that carbohydrates can release. And then it looks like our gut microbiome also is changed by these ultra processed foods and is also probably better at absorbing those nutrients. So we extract more calories from these ultra processed foods. So sort of a double whammy of they are foods that are easy to eat too much of. We do eat more of them when we eat them. And then they affect our microbiome and we're actually able to absorb more calories from it. So when we're looking at carbohydrates, we don't want to think of them all as equal. Having pure sugar, say gummy worms or a soda, is different than having broccoli, which ultimately has some starch and a bunch of fiber in it. So these are different in how our body responds. Most foods are not going to be purely one or the other. So there's clearly our sugary foods. Again, I'll pick on those gummy worms today that are just going to be pure, simple sugars. But a lot of the foods we eat have some starch and some fiber. So if you think about, say, rice, if you are doing a whole grain brown rice, it is going to have some fiber on the outside. Fiber is usually that crunchy stuff that, again, we cannot break down. So we chew it, we swallow it, and then later our bacteria digests it a little more, and then a lot of it comes out as waste. But a lot of foods are going to have both. So if we think about our fruits and our vegetables, those are going to have fiber in them. They may also have sugars in the case of fruit. There can be quite a lot of fructose or fruit sugar in the fruit, and vegetables can have a little bit of that as well. And then they're going to have some sort of miscellaneous carbohydrates or starchy carbohydrates in those vegetables as well. And some have more than others, depending on the vegetable. But when we have this mixture of starchy or even some sugar plus the fiber, our body has to work a little harder to digest that. It doesn't immediately release sugar into our bloodstream. So that is why you'll often hear us emphasize whole grains and whole foods like vegetables, fruits, beans, and legumes. And these are sources of carbohydrates that are probably much better for most people's health than those simple ultra processed carbohydrates. So the type of food matters. Whole grains, I find to be a little bit challenging to navigate because if you go to a grocery store, you'll see all sorts of packaged food that says it's a whole grain. And whole grains are probably not all created equal. So the advice I usually give my patients is if you're really trying to eat whole grains, I want you to eat the actual whole grain, meaning I want you to buy the brown rice and cook it on the stovetop so you know it was actually whole brown rice. If you are going to make quinoa, make it yourself. If you are making oatmeal, make it yourself. When you buy the packaged pre-cooked whole grains, a lot of times they are already more processed. And so they release sugar more easily in your body, which means they increase the glycemic index of the food, which again, I'm going to talk about a little bit more here in a moment. So be careful with things that just say whole grain on it. You'll know it's a whole grain when you have to see the grain, it's in its whole form, and you have to cook it from scratch. That's a whole grain, and we're not going to have to debate that. But when you walk through the grocery store, you'll see foods like Lucky Charms with the whole grain signal on it. And I don't think that is necessarily a food that's going to be improving your health a lot or really is reaching the goal we have with having a whole grain in your diet, and certainly a food that's pretty easy to overeat for most of us. Another example would be like the veggie sticks. You'll see these like veggie straws or veggie sticks. And They kind of are like a Cheeto or some sort of snack food in taste, but they say veggies and they look colorful. But if you look at the ingredients, they're usually going to be mostly cornstarch or potato starch of some sort. So these are actually really simple carbohydrates. They're processed. They break down really easy in the body. So they're not giving you the same benefit as actually just having broccoli or having a carrot or having that whole vegetable. So be careful when you are in the store picking out foods. A lot of times people will talk about walking around the periphery of the grocery store, meaning the outside of the grocery store where the fresh food is, where the whole fruits, whole vegetables, milk, dairy, eggs are, instead of the inside of the food, where you're going to get more of that processed food. And it can be a little harder to navigate what's a real food. So trying to eat the real whole foods. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't buy frozen vegetables or canned vegetables or ones that are already chopped or cut for you, if that makes things easier. But again, be careful of the things that just say they have vegetables or whole grains in them, because I think the packaging can be really misleading for a lot of people. Okay, so we talked about three different types of carbohydrates. We talked about sugar, starch, and fiber. And so when we have the carbohydrates that are just sugars, again, our gummy worms, our candy, our soda, our juice, our sugar, our syrup, our honey, these sorts of things, these are definitely what we call a simple carbohydrate. They're just pure sugar. And then on the other end, we have something like a sweet potato or black beans or pinto beans or whole grain oat cereal. And these are going to be our complex carbohydrates. They're harder to break down. And then in the middle, we have more of our starchy carbohydrates, things like plain potato, white rice, bread, crackers, pastries, where they are not a sugar. But because they are simple and they don't have much fiber in them, they are really easy for our body to break down and immediately release sugar into the bloodstream. Okay, so this brings me to the concept of glycemic index and glycemic load. So a glycemic index is a score of a food based on how much that food is going to make your blood sugar rise, with 100 being what a pure sugar would do, just eating table sugar by the mouthful or drinking some syrup maybe, and 0 being something that has 0 effect on glycemic index. So maybe pure butter, which has no carbohydrates or sugar in it, for example. And so foods are scored on this, and the really high glycemic foods are probably not as good for most of us because they can spike our blood sugar. So for anyone who has prediabetes or diabetes, you might be more sensitive to that food. And these are also foods that tend to be easy to overeat. Then we have glycemic load, which is more in reality how that glycemic index impacts the food. So an example might be watermelon. Watermelon has a high glycemic index. But if you eat an actual serving of watermelon, it has a lot of water in it and a lot of fiber. So as long as you stick to a serving size of it, it may not have that big of a glycemic index. I know I personally do not stick to one serving of watermelon. And so it can definitely spike my blood sugar when I eat it. But that's the difference of a glycemic load on a food. So you might hear both those terms. But all of this put simply, and what you're going to do in your real life, is realize that the more simple and easy to break down in your body a carbohydrate is, the more it's going to spike your blood sugar and likely the more you're going to overeat it. And so we really want foods that are going to keep our blood sugar stable, especially for most people with prediabetes or diabetes. 1 in 3 Americans has prediabetes. And if you struggle with your weight, there is a very good chance that you have prediabetes. And that is where we want to pay attention to the type of carbohydrates we're eating. Again, sticking to our things that have a lot of fiber, like vegetables, beans, legumes, and some fruit, and then trying to stick to whole grains and really minimize those simple sugars. When we talk about how much to eat, this is going to vary based on your size and nutrition goals. So if you're already working with someone, certainly go by their advice. But when I'm working with patients, a lot of times we'll shoot for a rough estimate of about 100 grams of carbohydrates total a day. Some of my patients might be closer to 150, but somewhere around there is often where my patients end up in our goals for carbohydrates. Another goal you might look at is having 30 to 35% of your total calories coming from carbohydrates if you're trying to reduce carbohydrates in your diet. But keep in mind, the type of carbohydrates matter more than the total amount of carbohydrates, unless you are trying to do a keto diet where you're just not eating carbohydrates at all. So another thing I often will have my patients track is the amount of sugars that they are getting in, simple sugars. And this is pretty easy to find now on most nutrition labels. And I will set a goal of my patients for having less than 25 grams total of added sugar. And that's a pretty generous amount. In an ideal world, we'd probably have zero, but that's not realistic for many of us. So 25 grams is a nice max to look into for your total amount of sugar added in your diet in a day. And that's actually about the amount of sugar in a can of Coke or a Clif bar. So depending on how you think about it, it's a lot or not a lot. But if you've never paid attention to added sugar in your diet, that is probably the first thing I would pay attention to, is reducing that added sugar, which is the hardest on our body and really provides the least nutritional benefit for us. And then I would focus on bulking up on fiber, trying to get around 30 grams. There's different recommendations based on gender and age, but around 30 grams of fiber a day is probably where most of us need to be. And so those are a good place to be. And when we're talking about that 100 grams of carbs, I do not really count fiber in that. So that lets you go up and get a lot more vegetables and beans and legumes and fruit in your diet in addition. Okay, so we talked a little bit about what you're looking for. Let's talk a tiny bit more about what you can look at on a nutrition label. So when you are looking on a food label, you are going to see a total carbohydrate section. And then you are usually going to see a fiber section, and then you usually will see an added sugar section. And so it drives some people nuts because they'll add the fiber and the sugar together and it doesn't equal that total carbohydrate amount. And that's because the difference between those, the missing carbohydrates, are those starchy carbs. So the nutrition label will show you added sugars or sugars, and then it will show you the fiber, and then the missing amount that gets you to the total amount of carbohydrates on that nutrition label are just those regular carbohydrates, or what are sometimes called starches. You may sometimes see sugar alcohols or other non-nutritive sweeteners, sugars that don't really get absorbed or turn into calories in your body, on there as well, especially if you're doing a low carb or keto diet. You might get some products at the store that have those in it. And so those are often subtracted as well from your total carbohydrate goal. But ideally, we're not eating too much processed food, so that shouldn't be coming up a whole ton for you. Okay, so some goals for this podcast episode: working on increasing whole grains for our grains. Always increase veggies. I will never not tell someone to increase veggies. Veggies are great for all of our health. And then we also want to watch those simple sugars in our diet, the added sugars, basically just the pure sugar. Because remember that sun bear, he loves honey. And he loves honey because he is programmed to love honey. We are all programmed to like sugar, whether we like sweets or whether we're the sort of person who likes chips, pasta, crackers, bread. Those are all things that quickly turn into sugar in our blood, and our brain lights up. It likes it. It wants us to store up. It wants us to gain weight. It wants us to be prepared for a possible famine. But most of us do not live in a world like that anymore. And so we have to regulate the amount of carbohydrates, especially simple carbohydrates, we eat, because it's really easy to overeat them. So I hope that you do not overthink any of this. I hope this just lets you be more mindful about it. I generally am not someone who likes to have my patients obsessed with every single thing they're eating and count everything. But if you've never looked before, it's always worth logging for a week or something and see how many simple sugars are you getting in your diet? How many grams of fiber are you getting in your diet? And see if there's some simple shifts you can do in your diet to get it to that healthier, balanced place. So your homework for this week is to identify some simple carbohydrates that maybe you could reduce in your diet by replacing them with something else. So that may be swapping white rice for brown whole grain rice. That may be swapping a white potato for a sweet potato. That may be swapping the starchy carbohydrate side for some beans or legumes or chickpeas. That may be adding more veggies. That's a great way to fill yourself up, get some bulky stuff on your plate, something you can eat without adding a lot of calories from starch or sugars. So look for those swaps in your diet. Instead of trying to add stuff on or tell yourself that you can't have something, I like this model where we swap things out. We, again, swap for a better choice, something that's going to make us more full, keep our blood sugar more stable. Okay, well, that's all I have for you today. Take a look at that Sun Bear video online if you haven't seen it. It's kind of silly. And until next week, take care.
Thank you for listening to the Dr. Francavilla Show, where we learn about all things related to weight and health. If you love this podcast, make sure to leave those 5-star reviews and share this podcast with a friend or loved one. If you have a topic about weight and health you want me to tackle, head over to the website, thedrfrancavillashow.com, to submit your question. And make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss next week's episode. Take care.